You have your introduction there. Everybody has a lesson sheet. I hope that wants one. Amen. And Brother Jeff, get yourself one. Amen. And I appreciate Brother Jeff coming in. Probably drove about 400 miles today and just getting in and making sure he's in church tonight. Amen. And good to see Miss Laura back there. I see you drifting back there, Miss Laura. Amen. Getting your lesson sheet. Praise the Lord. In your introduction, in our last lesson, we continued our study of faith and works as James called his first of four witnesses. In our last lesson, we continued our study of faith and works as James called his first of four witnesses. And you remember what our brother was from last week. It was Brother Warmed and Filled. God bless Brother Warmed and Filled. Amen. And we looked at Brother Warmed and Filled, and James here is making his case that works should accompany faith. By the way, I have the word should there. I almost ought to change it to must. Because if you have real faith, there will be works that go along with it. Amen. And this is what James is saying here, okay? That works should accompany faith, for it is our works that justify us before men. Okay? It is our works that justify us before men. And just a quick review of last week, we looked at the rebuttal of destitution. Remember there in verse number 15, James says there's a brother or sister that comes to you, Brother Hauser, and he's destitute of daily food and naked. Okay, here's a person, just imagine, here we are. By the way, I always think in January, Lord, please bless folks with no home. Please, but you know, they'll come and you know, you'll get on the news and they'll say, and there's a cold front coming through, and you walk out of your house to your car and that wind whips across you and you think, Lord, there's somebody without a home tonight. Lord, please help them just to be able to get warm. Help them even, you know, get in the store and just get warm for a few minutes. Well, this is a brother or a sister, a member of the family of God that comes to you and they're completely naked, destitute of daily food. So James presents this rebuttal of destitution. And then in verse 16, you have Brother Warmed and Filled's request for departure. He says, thanks for stopping by. It's good to see you. Haven't seen you in a while. Be ye warmed and filled. And we talked about that last week, how he's just given good advice. Don't you think if that guy could be warmed and filled, he wouldn't have showed up on your porch naked and hungry? Amen. Amen. And so he had the rebuttal of destitution, the request for departure. And then James really deals in verse 16 and 17. He gets to the brass tacks. He said, that's dead faith. It's the reality of deadness. He says there in end of verse 16, he says, what doth it profit? Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. He says, Brother Warmed and Filled, you say you have faith, but you don't have any. You do not have saving faith. Because if you had saving faith, you'd have done something to help your brother or sister. Okay? So, Brother Warmed and Filled, he failed. Amen. Now we have here, James continues by calling his second witness. Okay, his second witness. And so, first we had Brother Warmed and Filled. Here we have, will Brother Faith with no works, Brother Faith with no works, please take the stand. And we see that in verse number 18. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. So we have Brother Faith with no works here. We had Brother Warmed and Filled. Here's Brother Faith with no works. Look, if you would, Roman numeral number 1, the differentiation of faith. The differentiation of faith. Okay? Here we have 3 points here. First thing I want you to notice here is there's an orthodox statement, okay, in verse 18. Verse 18, yea, a man say, thou hast faith. This is not an atheist. This is not an infidel. This is not an apostate. This is somebody that has an orthodox faith. He may be able even to tell you, read, Brother Leonard, a doctrinal statement. He may be able to say, I believe in the triune God. I believe in Father, Son, Holy Ghost. I believe in the Bible. Brother Merrill, he may even say, I believe in the King James Bible. He may say, I believe in separation. I believe and go through all these things that, amen, we believe.
That's right.
We do believe all those things. So it's an orthodox statement. He says here, this man, thou hast faith. But then we see an outward statement. Verse number 18 said, thou hast faith and I have works. See, that first person, that orthodox statement, listen, there's a lot of those quote-unquote Christians. There's a lot of people that, and listen, I've been saved almost 20 years now. Some of you have been saved a lot longer than that. I've seen a lot of sprinters. How many of you have seen sprinters? You know, how many know exactly what I'm... Man, they got saved and they started setting the world on fire for about 3 weeks. And now the FBI can't find them. Amen? Now, listen, I'm not saying those people aren't saved. If they trusted Christ, they got saved. Now, I will say this, our Heavenly Father chastens those that are His. But there's a lot of people that claim the doctrinal statement and go to church every week of the world, don't have one work to show to a lost world that they're saved. So there's an orthodox statement. Then praise God, there's an outward statement. Listen, folks, please, I'm not boasting at all. I drove the church bus tonight. I love driving the church bus. I do. Mrs. Lawley, how many years you been teaching Sunday school? Back when you were a teenager, you started teaching, right? Amen? Teaching Sunday school. Listen, Brother Jeff, teaching Sunday school. Some of you work in the nursery. Listen, there ought to be some outward evidence that we are saved. I get a little nervous about somebody that's been in the church for 20 and 30 years, and I ask them, what's your ministry, brother? And they say, I don't have one. Why not? Yeah. Amen? Listen, he says here, there's not only an orthodox statement. Now listen, we're talking about the differentiation of faith here. There's an orthodox statement. There's an outward statement. Then there's an obvious statement. I love this in this text. If a man say, thou hast faith and I have works, next two words, class, show me. Show me. Show me. I heard an old statement. I don't know who it's attributed to. It was one of the first quotes I took down in Bible college. By the way, the first one I took down was from our English teacher, Doreen Hollis. She said this to us freshmen. She looked at us and she started laying out all the assignments. And I was like, my goodness, it'd been a long time since I took English. I was 25 when I went to Bible college, and I had to start remembering, oh my goodness, how do you conjugate a verb and prepositional phrases and all that? And she said this, circumstances do not alter responsibilities. It's a great statement for a freshman in Bible college. Don't tell me, you know, your laptop broke. You still need to turn in your paper. Amen. But then we had somebody, and it was Brother Dave Carr that said it. He said, people don't care what you know till they know that you care. Show me. Show me. Amen. And so we have here, we have the on your outline, you have the orthodox statement, you have an outward statement, you have an obvious statement. The obvious differentiation of real faith and bogus faith is something that can be seen by men. Show me. Show me. Okay, so we have the differentiation of faith. Number two, we have the dissection of faith. James, the master lawyer here, is going to dissect the faith of Brother Faith with no works. He's going to dissect his faith. Okay? So he says this faith is challenged. Number one, we see the creed. The creed. C-R-E-E-D. Verse 19, look at it. Thou believest there is one God. Okay? We have the reference there. You know the reference there in Deuteronomy chapter number 6, verse 4. Hear ye, O Israel, our Lord is one God. He says here, you have a creed. You believe the Bible. Okay? Remember, listen, the Pharisees, they believed the Bible. They believed in the resurrection. Now, they were mixed up. Amen? Really mixed up. So mixed up, they crucified the one they said they believed in. But they believed. They, quote unquote, had faith. They had a creed. There's a lot of people with a creed. There's a lot of people that subscribe to every tenet of every doctrine in our church constitution. A lot of people. They've got a creed. Then he says this. You have not only the creed, you have the commendation. Thou believest there is one God? Thou doest well. James commends him. He said, of course, that's true. I believe that, James probably said. I believe that. You believe there's one God? You do well. But then I want you to notice the companions. He says, thou believest there's one God? Thou doest well. By the way, I've used this verse more times in soul winning than probably any other verse besides Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. Because not everybody anymore, just about everybody believes in God. And I've had, you go to a door, you get in a conversation, start talking to somebody, and I say, I believe in God. I say, that's great. That's great. Mm-hmm. You know what? Let me show you a verse. Thou believest there's one God? Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. The devils. Now, I don't know what you think about devils. I'll tell you exactly what I think, and I'll say it from over here. I think devils in the Bible are those angels that fell with Satan when Satan rebelled against God. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 12 that he took one third of the stars with him. I think they are the imps that do his bidding, the seducing spirits. That's what I think devils are. Some people call them demons. That word's not used in the Bible. Devils, small d. One devil, lots of little devils. Okay? The Bible says that the companions here, the devils themselves, on your outline, believe with the same intellectual faith. Okay, we have a cross-reference here. I want you to hold your place in James. Write down this cross-reference. Luke chapter 4, verse 31 through 37. I want you to go there. Luke chapter 4, verse 31 through 37. You're going to see these are always interesting passages as you're reading through the Gospels. Luke chapter 4, verses 31 through 37. Of course, this is a miracle of Jesus healing the man possessed of devils at Capernaum. Okay, in verse 31, I'll just read there. You catch up when you find your place. And came down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and taught them on the Sabbath days. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power. What a statement that is. And in the synagogue there was a man which had the spirit of an unclean devil, and cried out with a loud voice, saying, let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know who thou art, the Holy One of God. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, hold thy peace and come out of him. And when the devil had thrown him in the midst, he came out of him and heard him not. And they were all amazed and spake among themselves, saying, what a word is this? For with authority and power he commanded the unclean spirits, and they come out. And the fame of him went out into every place in that country round about. You say, Pastor, what do you mean about there? Listen, here was this devil. And he was inhabiting a man. You say, Pastor, does that still take place? I believe it does. I believe it does. You look at school shootings and all these things. There's always the last one to go. Yeah, I don't even want to think about it. This devil knew exactly who Jesus was. He believed in God. Right here. There used to be a gospel tract written that said, missing heaven by 18 inches. From head to heart. 18 inches. See, there's a lot of people with an intellectual faith. They have given mental assent to the facts of the Bible. But they've never made Jesus their own personal Savior. So we have here the devils themselves believe with the same intellectual faith, Luke 4:31-37, and they tremble. Why? For they know that their faith will not help them escape their eternal doom. See, believing in God right here doesn't do anything as far as your eternity. Let me get you lastly. We've looked at the differentiation of faith, the dissection of faith. I want you to note the disputation of faith. The disputation of faith. This faith is condemned, this intellectual faith only. This faith with no works whatsoever to show for it. By the way, let me just say this. These spiritual eggheads populate seminaries. I'm going to tell you what I think of seminaries. They're usually cemeteries. Amen. Amen. So I'd rather have somebody with the call of God on their life that loves the Bible and loves to preach than somebody with more degrees than a thermometer. Amen. The disputation of faith. The first thing that James disputes, he says it's unprofitable. Unprofitable. You look at verse 14 and 16 back in James. Verse 14 and 16, it says there, it said, "What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he have faith and hath not works? Can faith save him?" Go down to verse 16. "He say to one of you, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give not those things which are needful for the body. What doth it profit?" This faith that absolutely has no works, no compassion on a fellow brother or sister, it's unprofitable. It's not profitable. It's no good. Then he not only says it's unprofitable, verse 17, he goes a step further. He says, "Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead." He said it's not only unprofitable, it's unliving. It's unliving. There's no heartbeat, no pulse, spiritually speaking. It won't fog a spiritual mirror if you put it under their nose. Not only is it unprofitable and unliving, if you look at the last verse there in verse 20, it says, "But wilt thou know, O vain man?" We could put it in a modern vernacular. James is saying, "Don't you get it? Brother Doctrine, Brother Creed, Brother Know the Bible, Brother Faith with no works, don't you get it?" He says here in verse 20, "Wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead?" That word vain there, kinos, empty. It's unproductive, lastly. It's unproductive, it's unprofitable, it's unliving, and it's unproductive. And so we've come to the end of two witnesses that failed the test of faith. They were exposed for what they are. Not having real faith. We're going to look over the next 2 weeks at two wonderful characters of the Bible that had real faith. Brother Abraham, and I love saying this one, Sister Rahab. Sister Rahab wouldn't be welcome in a lot of fundamental Baptist churches because of her past. But I'm going to tell you what, she's just as clean before God's eyes as you and I are. Sister Rahab, Brother Abraham, we're going to look at them in the next couple of weeks here. Father, thank you so much for Lord, these passages, Lord, they're convicting. They're frightful passages, Lord. They cause us to examine ourselves, whether we be in the faith. Lord, thank you that if we trust you, you save us.